Rockets general manager Daryl Morey basically retweeted somebody, not literally, but he basically tweeted, the Rockets are 5-8 against the Warriors the last 3 years in the playoffs. The rest of the NBA is 5-34. This is the right message, but it's the wrong messenger. The point stands. The Rockets have been the best team against Golden State, but I don't really want my general manager saying that in the middle of the Western Conference Finals, especially when the Warriors have yet to win that series.
You know what this was? This was a little bit like a Darren Bevel tweet. Wait, what's his name?
Ravel.
Darren Ravel, not Darren Bevel, not the offensive coordinator. Yeah, it was like a Darren. It's just interesting information, awkwardly and weirdly timed. It's as you're watching the team that's still like the one that's your daddy still go out there and do what they're doing. It doesn't feel good to say like, hey, everybody remember, we put up a good fight. Like, hey, we're number two. We're number two.
Yes.
Even though we're not even number two this year. Yeah, it's just nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to see it. It's true things that you don't want to acknowledge in a given moment.
I mean, I don't mind acknowledging it. It's just that I prefer the Rockets as an organization not to do it. Or this is the kind of thing that if I was Morey, I would consider bringing this up like after the NBA Finals came to an end. Like, let's say the Warriors, they win tonight, let's say they beat Milwaukee, and I'm doing a podcast or an interview, I'm talking to somebody, I might say, you know what, listen, the way we went out was not great, and we have to, you know, think about how we do things moving forward, but to put things in a big picture perspective, we've won 5 games against the Warriors, the rest of the NBA has won at that point, let's say 5, 6, or 7, it's not like we're doing horribly here.
Something like if you had, like, you finally had a crack at the hottest girl in your school, and maybe, like, after the little episode, she's unsatisfied, and you're kind of like, well, yeah, but you've been with a lot of other guys that weren't very good either, but I came close, right? Am I here? High five. And she's just looking at you, like, as you're smoking a cigarette. This is like the Daryl Morey laying in bed smoking a cigarette, being like, ah, came pretty close to getting you there, didn't I? Yeah.
I'm trying to think what was going through his mind on this. Maybe just re-emphasizing that it's really difficult to beat the Golden State Warriors. I mean, it had to be something like that, which everyone understands, because if you've been watching these last 2 games in particular between the Warriors and Blazers, the Blazers have had 20-point leads multiple times.
Yep.
And every single time that I've looked up on the television, specifically Saturday night, I'm out at a bar, my friends are like, oh wow, look what the Blazers are doing, and I'm like, yeah, it's the first half,
just wait.
relax. And then I look up at the television again and the Warriors are up by 10 points, and I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. So maybe that's what Daryl Morey was trying to do. I mean, I get it from that perspective. It's as you guys just said, like, it's the timing of when you do it. Like, what do you accomplish by pointing this out right now?
This is it was interesting that Morey would tweet this out, because I think Morey actually does a pretty good job of keeping the media on the palm of his hands. Like, he's got,
I think, more than decent.
He does a really good job, like, with national and local media, of just kind of massaging, because he's available and because he's interesting, he gets, and because honestly, because he's earned it, because of what he's done as a GM, he gets the benefit of the doubt a lot of times. And this is the kind of thing that needs to be pointed out by others more than him himself. Like, it does.
Totally agree.
It feels weird. Like, this is where you do you need your own propagandist, you know? This is nice. This is something that's nice for Zach Lowe to point out. This is something that's nice for Adrian Wojnarowski to point out.
And this is something that we're all thinking, right?
Right,
like,
right.
When you're watching the NBA playoffs, especially from a Houston standpoint, you're thinking, well, it was so hard for us against Golden State. And all of a sudden, when you're watching the Warriors against the Blazers, it feels like the dam is broken, right?
Yeah.
You feel like, oh, well, now they're cruising. Now, and I know the games, as Paul pointed out, have not been easy, but they're rolling through this series. They're probably going to win this game tonight and have like 9 days off before the NBA Finals. And so there is that natural feeling of like, well, listen, man, the way we went out sucked, but at least we're not the Portland Trail Blazers. But that's something that's good for us to think and maybe us to point out, but not the GM of the team. It's not a great look.
So we're talking about this tweet that Daryl Morey had on Friday, where he pointed out that the Rockets in the last 3 years have been 5-8 versus the Warriors. The rest of the NBA has been 5-34. Was not received well, at all on Twitter. The people were not excited about this information they already had. The other thing that came out of this, that this annoys me in modern culture. Daryl Morey had gotten this information from somebody on Twitter that had sent it to him, so he credited that guy. I guess the guy, I haven't gone through the guy's account, but I guess he's a big Trump supporter. So a lot of people were, I think, wondering, okay, hey, why are you quoting this guy? NBA players aren't going to necessarily, as a group, be happy about that. Listen, We got to get over this, everybody. If somebody, information is information, facts are facts. If your credit, if somebody gives you some information, I don't care how much you agree or disagree with them politically on separate topics. This, the information that this guy gave Daryl Morey, it's completely independent of any of this guy's political beliefs or otherwise. And Daryl Morey is like, I guess, would we expect Daryl Morey to vet everybody that he, like, either likes a tweet of on Twitter or something? We got to stop this. It's insanity.
I agree with
that. It's like taking an actual fact from somebody else is not a co-signing of all their political beliefs, religious doctrines, and what have you. And even if it were, who gives a damn anyway?
It's a blood contract, actually.
Yeah.
Mad Radio on a Monday. Mike, Seth, and Paul. Let's say you guys were Peyton Manning. And let's say you had your
sounds
pick.
Sounds terrible already.
If you had your pick of almost any job in the NFL.
Did you get your growth hormone prescription from the clinic? Okay. I'm not allowed to go there anymore because of the dirty journalists. So can you please, where is it?
Omaha.
Let's say you're Peyton Manning.
He can't even help it. He just says Omaha.
Honey,
like
where's my HGH? Omaha.
Peyton Manning, who's getting recruited to be in the Monday Night booth, and he said no. The Jets are reportedly interested. If you were Peyton Manning, would you seriously think about being the GM of the Jets and work with a good buddy of yours in Adam Gase?
Oh, hell no. I don't even know that they're good buddies. They had a good relationship when he was in Denver. By the way, the only time that Adam Gase has had a top half of the league offense was when he had Peyton Manning is his quarterback. That's Adam Gase's offensive genius. So there's two things we don't know. One, does Peyton Manning even actually respect Adam Gase as an offensive coordinator? I don't know. They worked well together, but Peyton Manning's worked well with a lot of people. Two, what do we know? And this isn't a slight on Peyton Manning at all. It's just my general question of how do we know or guess that Peyton Manning would actually be a good GM in the NFL?
We have no idea. I think it's more that if Peyton Manning keeps turning down these really lucrative broadcasting jobs, then the natural feeling is, well, at some point, a guy like Peyton Manning, based on his career, is going to want to be back in the NFL, and the natural role is not going to be head coach or offensive coordinator, but somebody running an organization.
Why would it not be head coach or offensive coordinator, or offensive coordinator specifically? Why would that not be the role?
Because if I'm Peyton Manning, I'd much rather run a team than be an offensive coordinator.
But I think if I'm Peyton Manning, you know what I like doing? I like being really good at things, and part of that is knowing what I'm potentially really good at. And Peyton is the ultimate control freak. And I think when you look at it, a guy like Elway, or remember when Dan Marino took that job in the front office and quit after like 6 weeks?
Yes.
Those guys are almost too cocky for their own good to where they look at it and are like, hell yeah, I'll be good at that. I think Peyton Manning strikes me as a guy that has a better grasp of what his own strengths and weaknesses might be, and that he's not going to set himself up to fail. And particularly, I don't think he's going to go to an organization that almost seemingly sets everybody up to fail. So I put the chances of this happening, Peyton Manning to the Jets as a front office person, especially as like the GM, as the guy in charge, I put the chances at 0.7%.
Wouldn't you rather?
And I don't mean like I'm not accidentally saying 70%. Yeah. I mean 0.7%.
Negative 0.7% for me.
I was like, there's no way in hell.
It's the Jets. Why would you ever put that stink on you when you're Peyton Manning?
If I were Peyton, I'd consider it.
Why? Why would you? Why would you, Mike?
I know. I have a bit of a conflict of interest. And don't get it mistaken. The Jets are a mess. I'm not going to deny that part. But if you're Peyton Manning, it's a chance to be in New York. You have a chance to have a lot of power. You'd be working with a head coach who seems like he's Machiavellian. Like, Adam Gase just pulled off in basically four months, what it took Bill O'Brien 4 years to pull off in Houston. Side note. But if I'm Peyton Manning, I'd be working with Adam Gase, a guy I like. I'd have a franchise quarterback in Sam Darnold. I'd have a bunch of young talent. I'd have continuous cap space moving forward. I don't think it's the craziest idea in the world if I believed in my own abilities and I like the quarterback.
But you'd have to break the wheel, if you will, of history of Jets just getting in their own way, doing the cute, sexy thing that doesn't actually work out long term. Like, there's a lot of, I think, organizational baggage that the Jets have, and he's not cleaning that overnight. That's going to be tough for anyone to do.
You're stepping into a situation where let's check in on the Jets right now. You just fired your GM. Okay, I get it. They're not on the same page with the coach, the new coach, what have
you. GM's lousy.
But you also have a running back in 2019. You just paid a whole lot of money to a free agent running back, And that guy decides that after not playing football for an entire year, he also doesn't want to show up to the offseason training program. And also now there's rumors that the head coach, who's also the de facto GM at this point, didn't even want to pay you or have you around. So that's what you're stepping into too. So like it's already such a mess on so many levels for a rookie GM to step into this situation.
I would think about taking this job if I was Peyton Manning.
I just don't think there's other guys that I would say go ahead, have at it. Like maybe if I evaluated this with Tom Brady, I might think differently about it. I just, like, knowing what I know of Peyton Manning and reading the various interviews with him about him trying to figure out what he wants to do when he's done, I don't think this is what he wants to do. I'll be really surprised if this is what he chose to do.
I agree in that I'd be very surprised if he actually took the Jets general manager job.
Mm, Sonny makes a good point. Peyton doesn't want to be the Patriots bitch forever, which he'd be stepping right into. What about Tom Brady? What if he steps in? Do you think Peyton Manning wants to step into a situation where he gets beat by Tom Brady 8 times over the next 4 years?
Is Brady playing the next 4 years?
If he does, I'm just asking. There's a really good chance he does.
4 years?
He's a free agent. What if Brady like secretly still hates Belichick or something for some reason, and that Peyton Manning pulls off a trade for Tom Brady, and he gets Tom Brady for the last 3 years of his career?
That would be something.
Tom Brady is a free agent at the end of this year.
This is true.
He's probably going to come. I bet Tom Brady comes back. You ready for this? He's probably going to pay for minimum next year. This son of a bitch is going to just piss everybody off.
That's not going to happen.
But what if it did, Mike?
It would be sad.
I know it's going to be sad for
everybody. Being sad is what would happen. Headlines on the way. How big of a concern is the George Springer injury for the Astros? Plus, the Texans make one of their most obvious moves of the offseason. What does it mean for the team in 2019 next?